make sure you go check that out. And I really do hope that you guys have come as together as in a new series that we're going to be going into. And I'm praying this, that you would be open to receive, willing to be transparent, and ready to move however the Holy Spirit leads us. Can I get an amen for that? I want to give you a little bit of background on where the series came from and how God kind of handed this down. I have just recently gotten back from Israel, and on October 2nd, I was in Jerusalem, and you guys were about to start worship at 11 o'clock out there. It was 5 o'clock, and I was getting ready to, I just wanted to be down there at the wall praying and studying. I've always wanted to study at the Way on the Wall, so I decided to take my computer, put it in my backpack, and I wanted to get down there before you guys started worship. So I'm heading down to the old city. It's about a 30-minute walk from where I was staying. And I wish I could kind of describe how the journey is, but you walk through this area of Jerusalem called Ben Yehuda, and it's got a lot of restaurants and shops and things like that, and it really starts coming alive around 5 o'clock. So I'm walking, and I'm starting to go down there. Well, right then, the enemy really kind of started messing with me because I was kind of thinking about an email and a couple of emails I'd looked at regarding the building project, regarding some of the stuff we've got coming up in the new year and the vision meeting and all this. And the enemy's just messing with me, saying things that just wasn't true. And I knew it wasn't true, but it was really stirring me up. My heart rate was up. I was getting upset. And then I realized, I went, Matt, like, you're letting the enemy attack you, and you're in the land of the Lord. You know what I mean? And so I'm like, I'm not putting up with this. So I reached in my pocket, I put in my AirPods into my ears, and I started walking down. And guys, I don't do this a lot, but I was listening to some worship music, and I'm just speaking in tongues, man. I'm talking to the Lord. I'm just giving it over to Him. I'm just not going to let the enemy have any victory over me. So I get down to the Wailing Wall. I set up my stuff. Here's some pictures of when I was down there, if this will come up there. And so I'm sitting there. I've got my computer out. I'm studying, getting ready for you guys to start worshiping. And I decided to go up to a rabbi. I walked up to one of them, and I went up to ask him, like, what scriptures were they reading? Were they reading from Psalms or Proverbs or Song of Solomon's? I didn't know what they were doing. And he couldn't speak English, and he was very upset that I interrupted him. And so I'm like, sorry, you know, like, and I'm trying to bang. Well, another rabbi comes over in his defense to help him, and he's like, sir, what's going on? And I go, I didn't know he couldn't speak English. I was just wanting to know what you guys were reading so I can pray with you and read. And he goes, oh, we're reading the Psalms. And I said, which Psalms are you reading? I'd like to write them down. He says, all the Psalms that have to do with thanksgiving or being thankful to God for what He has given us. And guys, right there at that moment, I just felt the Holy Spirit, the atmosphere, can I say this, changed immediately. And all of a sudden, I'm covered with goosebumps. I'm like, I can tell that the Holy Spirit is revealing the Father to me. And you guys, and so I sit down and I just start writing down thoughts on being thankful. And the Lord downloaded this series to me right there, right then. And right as you guys started worshiping, I was watching you online. And I'm giving this entire thing to the God. But here's what I wanted to say to you, is that I went from being distracted with fear and anxiety to being overflowing with thankfulness. And this is my heart. This is my heart for all of us, is that as we walk through this series, that God will first reveal Himself to you in a new way, just as He did with me, because I got to make sure that I say this and give Him glory for this, is that He revealed Himself to me. I've been to the Wailing Wall since 1997, every year except for a couple of years. And I've never experienced God in that way standing there, and He revealed Himself in a new way to me. And that's what I'm praying that God is going to do with each and every one of us as we go through this. And that every life here would be filled with these overflowing thoughts of thanksgiving. So I go over and I'm sitting at my computer. I'm reading a couple of Psalms, and I come to this one that is in Psalm 69. Don't put it up yet, but it's going to come up here in a second. And I'm looking at the scripture, and it's kind of long. It's a long chapter. And the top of mine in my Bible says, "Save me, O God." And I went, uh-oh, this is going to be rough. And so I started looking at 69. Sure enough, first 10 verses, horrible stuff. I mean, they're just talking about crazy stuff. And this is going on. Why is this going on? When are you going to show up, God? And goes through to verse 20, same stuff. And I'm going, how is this in the Psalms? Like, I'm kind of tripping out a little bit. Well, I get to verse 30. You guys, look at this right here. And he says, "And I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hoofs." Guys, everybody say magnify. Guys, magnify in the Hebrew text is this right here. It's to glorify, it's to exalt, it's to worship, but one of the best definitions of it is this right here. It's to make him large. It's to increase who God is. It's talking about who he is, making him famous, making everybody know who the Father is. And here is this psalmist, and he's writing down that sincere praise and thanksgiving would honor God more than an animal sacrifice. Now, guys, I don't know if you're capturing what's going on here, but that is huge for an Old Testament writer or a psalmist to take a pen and write that down on paper, a tablet, or a scroll, because in Old Testament law, there really wasn't anything more important than sacrifice, whether it was animal, whether it was first fruits, or whether it was wheat. And here he is, he's saying that magnifying, singing a song of praise to the Lord is more important, or is greater. It will please the Lord more. I will magnify. Everybody say magnify one more time. I will magnify you with thanksgiving despite, listen to what I'm saying, what I've gone through or what I'm going through. And today I'd like to talk to you a little bit in our new series of thankful. This is thankful, being thankful for where you are. Back in March, I had flown out to California to go get my daughter to come back to be our youth pastor here. And we got in her car and we drove down to Orange County, which is right around Anaheim in that area in South LA. And we're down there for my niece's wedding. And so we get to the hotel. We go downstairs to meet our son, Chase, who lives in the Hollywood Hills. He comes and he's got his Lexus that he just bought and couldn't wait to show it to us. And we get down to the hotel lobby and I realize it's more kind of a sportier version than like a comfort version. So I'm having to pull the seat up and my knees are up against the dashboard. And we've got Lori, a friend of the family, and Sky in the back seat. And I'm in the front with Chase. Well, we get in. He's excited. We're excited to be there with him. And he throws on some age-appropriate music for us, 70s and 80s stuff. And we're listening to music. Everybody's singing. And we're driving. Well, let me make sure I say this at the very beginning, is that my son Chase is not the best of drivers. Okay? I'm not going to say he's the worst, but he's not the best of drivers. So he's one of those ones that likes to brake very late when you're pulling up on people. He's braking at the last second, man. And I'm just like, and we're listening. He's just over there singing and all that, and I'm like freaking out. Well, we get to the restaurant, I get out. I'm like, I get out of the car, and we quickly realized that we had made a mistake, that there was two of these restaurants, and we went to the wrong one. The one that we needed to go to was about 15 miles away. And so I'm not upset that we're going to be late to the dinner. Guess what I'm upset about? I got to get back in the car. And so we get back in the car, 70s, 80s tunes are blaring, we're driving, we're late braking, we're in the highway and we're doing two-lane crosses without looking, and he's over there, let me take you to Funky Town, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And I'm, and Lori, my wife, is known for speaking in tongues in the car for many reasons. For me, I don't do it much, but I promise you I was white knuckling. I had my hand on the dash and on the door. I'm praying, God, just get us there. Here's a picture of us just to show we made it there safe. Okay, we got to the wedding. My rider couldn't go with us, but we made it to the wedding and the whole thing. But guys, when we got to that restaurant, I have never been more happy to be out of a car in my entire life. And I'm not even playing around. I've been in some accidents, man, but this one right here, it just about killed me. Guys, listen to what I'm going to say to you right here. I was thankful for arriving where I was supposed to be. Now, let's take that in the spiritual, where we are right now. To be thankful when we arrive where we're supposed to be. Sometimes it's hard to be thankful when it comes to your career, where you are in your career. Sometimes it's hard to be thankful where you are in your marriage. Sometimes it's hard to be thankful in your family, the family that you're in or what you're going through. There might be times where you're not thankful. Or instead, I've got a little bit of feedback if somebody can help me with that. If in the city, like a city that wherever you were lived or wherever you were raised, maybe sometimes it's hard to be thankful where you are. Or being thankful for the journey with God, and it seems like maybe it's been stalled. It's not moving the way that it should. And so it's hard to be thankful in those times. But I want us to look into scripture, and it's Jeremiah chapter 29. And guys, here's the thing is Jeremiah is penning this letter or this thought to the people who have been taken into captivity. Daniel is actually in this captivity in Babylon. And Jeremiah is writing them. And listen to what he says in verse 7. He says, "Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile, and pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers," what does it say? "You will prosper. If it prospers, so will you." Now remember, they're in captivity, and Jeremiah is telling them to pray for them, to make sure it prospers. In the New English Translation, it actually says it this way: "Work to see that that city where I sent you enjoys peace and prosperity." And another great translation I've found in the Message says, "Make yourselves at home there and work for the country's welfare. Pray for Babylon's well-being. If things go well for Babylon, things will go well for you." Guys, listen, before he even said this right here, look at this in 5 and 6. He's telling them, build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce, marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. So church, be thankful where you are. Live life where God has you. Come on, give me an amen. That's a hard one to say and want to confess, because some of us might be in situations where it's not good at all. When we're struggling physically, spiritually, financially, emotionally, it's easy to lose sight of all the good that Jesus has done. It's easy to lose sight of all the good that Jesus is still doing. But let me say this again. I've said it through Jesus Gets Us series, through the Judges series that we went through, and even now I want to say this to you, is that God does not make a mistake when it comes to our lives. Where he has us, where you have been, and where you are now, he does not make a mistake. Sometimes we can get so upset where we are. We don't like what's going on. I've gained 25 pounds. You know what I mean? You get upset and you're blaming it all on God. You're not happy, but then God comes in and he reveals his plan. Listen, we're trying to control things. If this happens, then this is going to make this happen. And if I can just get this to happen, then everything's going to come into alignment. Everything's going to be good. If I can just control and make sure it gets done, God reveals the plan and it has nothing to do with how I've planned it, how I'm trying to control it. If we are trying to control all outcomes, if we're not praising him and thankful, this is what I want to say. Boy, are we going to be in constant state of disappointment. It reminds us that we can't do it on our own. It reminds us that all my hope, all your hope is in Jesus. I heard a pastor talking about praying from a place of desperation, but he wasn't talking about desperation in the sense of like, oh, I'm so desperate for you, God. Oh, I'm desperate for more of your presence. He's talking about that you're just constantly in a state of desperation instead of praying from a place of authority. Come on, give me a little bit there. Because this is the thing is that if we're constantly praying from a place like here, where we don't see the victory, we can't see the outcome, it's not going the way we wanted it to, I'm not where I wanted to be, and we're not doing it from the authority that Christ is within us, then we're going to always miss what God has. Listen, where he has me, where I am right now, I want to say this with my heart, that there is purpose, and I'm going to praise him for it. Timothy. 1 Timothy, for those of us that are new to the Bible, I just wanted to say this, I'm not trying to demean or anything. It's a letter that was written to Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 1, Paul says, I'm the writer. I think it's in verse 2, he says, and this is to Timothy. And then in verse 3, look what he writes. When I left for Macedonia, I urged you to stay in Ephesus and stop those whose teaching is contrary to the truth. Now, what I get out of that scripture right there is that Paul is writing Timothy, and I think the reason why he's writing him possibly is that Timothy's done in Ephesus. I'm done. You got to leave. Now, when do I get to leave? The church is imploding. They're worshiping in ways that, you know, I don't know what they're doing. They're trying to bring things in the church that shouldn't be there. They're falling back in their old ways. I don't know what it was. But check out this in the Message, the way that same scripture read. Look at this. On my way to Macedonia, I advised you to stay in Ephesus. Well, I haven't changed my mind. You know what I mean? Paul's like, I haven't changed my mind. I need you to stay right there. Stay on top of things so that the teaching stays on track. And it can be easy to get caught up in, well, I would have been happier if this would have happened. How many of us ever thought in ourselves, and not just hurt other people, but we thought it ourselves, if I just had a little more money, if I had a little more money, I'd be happier. Or this one right here, that if I would have been born into that family, I for sure would have been happier. Or I'd be much happier if I lived there. Listen, there's things I'll see on TV. We'll be watching movies, Laura and I. We watched a movie this weekend, and it was in Bora Bora, and I'm thinking, wow. You know, you think, wow, I could be happy there, but am I going to be, is that where God wants me? Come on. The truth is, there is not a moment that goes by that we don't have something to be thankful for with what we have right now. Thankful for where you are right now, church. Thankful, grateful, praising God for where he has you and where he is taking you. Let me just walk away from my notes for a second, and let me just say this right here. Over these next 5 weeks, I'm really praying that you will allow me to be very transparent with you. And that means that you too are also going to be, not that it has to be transparent with me, but that God, you're going to give God access to what's really going on inside. Because some of us could have walked in here this morning and felt like, I'm losing control. I've been there. You say, or you come in and you say, God, I actually feel like I could lose my mind. This is real stuff. Or you could say, I'm not myself, or I'm stuck in a constant state. And this is one thing that can rob you of Thanksgiving and being thankful is this right here. I'm in a constant state of complaining. That's just one thing. I'm just picking one thing. Let's look at it just real quickly. You guys, look at this thought that's going to come up. Complaining gives time and power to what is not most important. Let me read it again. Complaining gives time and power to what is not most important, but there's more. And in the end, all my complaining has completely undermined my faith. It can single-handedly strip you of your ability to be thankful. Do you know that complaining leads to tension? It leads to stress. How many of us have ever stuck our foot in our mouths and wish we hadn't said that? Well, complaining, pretty much everything that comes out of your mouth are things that you really don't mean. You know, I was sitting there studying, and I thought, you know, I'm going to see if there's anything in medicine that talks about complaining. So sure enough, I get into a medical journal. Look what medicine has to say about complaining. Complaining rewires your brain for negativity. So it literally is neuron highways are being formed that as you complain and you get used to it or you get stuck there, now all of a sudden you're living in negativity. That when we complain, our bodies release the stress hormone called cortisol. And if we know anything about cortisol, is that cortisol shifts you and I into fight or flight mode. So it affects your oxygen, it affects your blood, it affects your energy, directing it only to the systems that control, listen to this, our survival mode. So as we complain, our blood pressure rises. Come on, give me an amen. As we complain, check this out, it affects your blood sugar as well. To be prepared to either escape or to defend yourself. Look at this thought right here. God gave me another one here, is that complaining is about me and my circumstance, where being thankful is about me and my God. Come on, isn't that good? Complaining, this is all about me. But being thankful, we have to give it to who deserves it, amen? It's about God. So I want to give you some thoughts to help us all be thankful for where we are. And the first thought is this right here, is focus on God. Just focus on God. Remember, we read that scripture in 1 Timothy. Now, let's just skip a couple chapters here. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, here's Paul. He's still talking to Timothy, and he says, until I get there, Focus on reading the scriptures to the church. Focus on encouraging the believers and focus on teaching them. He's still telling him, he says, there is a reason you're there. And do what God needs you to do. You're like, there is purpose where you're at, Timothy. And if you really want to know why God has you where you are, church, I'm saying you need to focus on God. Go after the things of God and start listening to his voice. Jesus was so adamant about this. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, we all know the scripture, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Remember, we talked about that. Righteousness is where we know who he is. We have relationship with God. We're wanting to live this life, to know his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's getting our eyes off of ourselves. It helps us to put the focus back on God. Guys, check these scriptures out on that same scripture. Go ahead and put these up. So the message says it this way, steep your life. I love that. Steeping tea or coffee. You know, like it's basically immerse yourself in God reality. Soak in God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find out all your everyday human concerns will be met. And then check out the TPT. So above all, constantly seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. Guys, I've had things where I wanted for myself, I wanted for my family, I wanted like a story in my line to be, and I thought it was so important that it had to happen that way. And then all of a sudden now I've lived my life and I'm still living this life, 56 years old, praying that I don't know if I want to live to 100, but you know, as my years go on, that I have done and I have seen the greatness of God. And some of the things that I thought were so important, they actually weren't. How about this one right here? Focus determines direction. Your focus on God is going to determine direction. It will put you exactly where you're supposed to be. That's why when we read in Hebrews 12:2, I love this version. It says, let us fix our eyes squarely on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Which leads me to this second thought to help you be thankful for where you are, is focus on God, and then secondly, count your blessings. Do y'all remember that old song we used to sing in the AG? Count your blessings, name them one by one. Yeah. Are y'all looking at me like you don't know what the heck I'm talking about? Okay, there we go. All right, well, it was a song. It was kind of catchy, you know, the whole thing, but it was talking about, you know, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. All right, come on now. Come on. Don't be looking at me like that. Count your blessings. It's encouraging us to name the blessings. Writing them down. Guys, I would say this to every student, every mother, father in here, is that sometimes if we're going through something, it's a good thing to get some sticky notes. I've done this. Write some stuff down that you're thankful for. Write down some scriptures that remind you. Put them on your fridge. Put them where you're looking at yourself in the mirror. Put them in your car on your dashboard. But write them down. We see it in scripture, the importance of writing these things down and recognizing what God is doing and celebrating them. Celebrating them with somebody else. And I want to share a financial miracle testimony, and I want to ask my wife to come up and help me. Give her a hand as she comes up. Everybody take a look at her shoes. I actually shined them for her this morning, so being a good husband, okay, that's enough. And, I'm joking. I love you. Anyway, she's getting my tickle box this morning. Okay, so I want to share this miracle testimony with you. And this is something that we couldn't wait to tell. I've been actually holding it in. Our story, 2005, Lori is sitting on a beach. God visits her near Monterey and tells her that she needs to go back to school and prepare for television. Fast forwarding in 2007, we moved out here. She fulfills the first part by attending Regent. She does get her master's and during that gets hired by CBN. So the master's program, CBN's happening, and then she graduates with her master's in 2011. Well, as you know, when you graduate, your school bills go into effect. Thank you, Jesus, you know. And so it came in. Well, at that time, Lori was working for CBN, but was making hardly anything. I had just planted a church out in Suffolk, was making hardly anything. So we couldn't start paying for our school bill for that first 6 months, so we had to put it in deferment. If you can do anything but put it in deferment, I'm going to give you some advice, don't do it, because it just makes you gain this crazy interest. It sounds great, but it's not great. We would have paid it if we'd have had it, but we didn't. Anyway, long story short, we start finally paying it. Now listen to what I'm saying. I was paying every month, double, and I was tithing. Church, let me say it again. I'm paying my school bill, and I'm tithing. So we fast forward, you know, 5 years goes by, 6 years goes by. We're not making a dent in this school loan. I mean, we're going through the interest, but we haven't even gotten into the principal part of it yet. And it became, and hear me out, a source of contention for me. More for me. I'm not going to say this was Lori. This was me. I had some really tough discussions with God and my wife. It became a thorn in my flesh because, listen to the reality. We did what you said, God. She went to school. She got hired by CBN. She's prepared for television. She's working for CBN. Why are we under this humongous amount of debt? So it became, I'm being transparent with you. So I was really struggling. So this goes on for about 9 years and whatever. And around 2019, God did something to me. There was something that happened because a lot of the times that I would bring that up to Lori and be upset was when we were struggling financially. Isn't it crazy that when we're struggling is usually when we are really upset with God? And so I understood that. And so in 2019, I looked at it and I said, well, you know, we've always been able to pay our tithe. We've always been able to pay our house payment. We've always been able to pay the school bill. So if as long as I can get this thing paid off before I die, okay, God, I'm going to do it. Is everybody with me? So I'm going to hand this over to Lori.
Yeah, and he did bring this up a lot. And I would go to God about it. Like, yeah, God, you know, when are you going to help us get rid of this? We're you know, what are you going to do? Please show up for us, you know. And I was trying to be the strong woman of faith, you know, and encourage my husband. But I was also like, yeah, what's going on? So in about early 2020 or late 2019, I got an email that got my attention, even though it kind of looked like a spam email. I stopped and read it. And it talked about if you have worked at a nonprofit for 10 years, you could apply for this special. And if you have made your student loan payments for 10 years, you could apply for this special loan forgiveness through the government that they would forgive your student loan. This is not the loan forgiveness stuff that's going on right now. This was something that existed prior. And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm almost to 10 years. Okay, Lord, please don't let me forget about this. I tried to, you know, save the email. I was like, Lord, you know, this is good. But I didn't even tell Matt about it because I didn't want him to get his hopes up. So in early this year, January, it was time for me. I could apply. So I got all my paperwork together, sent it in. It said in 30 days you're going to hear something. And then the time came and I didn't hear anything. So I called and they said, oh, give it 60 days. Nothing. You know, a few months later, I called again, nothing. They just seemed confused about even what I had applied for. So I was like, this isn't real. Like, I don't know. But in July, I just felt stirred again, call again. And the lady just kind of was a little different with me. And she said, you know, I just think maybe you should just apply again. There's been some changes and maybe things will, you know, go your way this time. Just apply again. So I did in July. I sent everything in again. And Matt knew this at this point that I was doing this. So we were praying together. And then, do you want me to pass it back to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. So I get back from Israel. I get back from Israel. I land, I go to the mailbox as I'm walking in the house, and I pull out the mail, and I'm going through it, and I see a Mahela, which is the people that hold her loan. And I go, oh, hey, babe, here's Mahela. You know, check it out. So she opens up, and guys, it said that our student loan had been completely been released. We've been released of it. Listen, I didn't say this in the first service. Over $40,000 of release. Guys, and listen to this. On the side, there was something that looked like it totaled like $12,000 on the right that said,
how did it say it? It had a CR next. It looked like we still owed almost $12,000. It said balance, and it said CR next to it. And Matt thought, would that be credit? Like, what? I go, no, they're not going to give us money back. The government never gives you money back, you know. He goes, but we did overpay a lot of those payments. I was like, well, you know, don't. He goes, call and find out. So I never did.
Yeah. See, I never. She doesn't listen to me. But anyway, I'm joking. She does. But so anyway, not this past Friday, but the Friday before, Lori and I were out celebrating our 34th wedding anniversary. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Right here. And so we're at Lynn Haven Mall, we're eating some food, she's shopping way too much. We go to get some of the massages on my feet and her on her back and stuff. So we had a great time and we go home and I go to the mailbox And I reach in, and I can't get my hand over the top of what's inside there. So I'm like, I go in with two hands, and I pull it out, and I back up under the streetlight and look. And on the top envelope, all I can see through it is United States Treasury. And so I...
So he walks in the house with... He goes, Lori, I have chills. I have all these envelopes, and I think they're all checks made out to you. And I was like, well, let's open them. So you guys...
Everybody say 48.
There are 48 envelopes. I start opening the first one. It's a check made out to me. You guys, I stood there almost in tears and opened 48 checks. Every time he overpaid, we got the overpayment back.
Yeah. $11,340. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. We're just so thankful for it. Yeah.
I've been crying so much about this, but I just want to encourage you. If God, I'd always heard people say, you know, where God guides, he provides. And I've been telling them that for 10 years. But he really does. He really does.
Amen. Amen. So Psalms 103, guys, here's the thing is, sometimes we focus so much on our finances, but look how good God is to us. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins. Heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Where you are right now, and it will look different for everyone that's in this room, how has Jesus blessed your life? I would say this to you. Count the blessings. Count your blessings. Write them down and praise him for it. Be thankful for what he does and be thankful for where he has you right now. And here's my third and final thought. I'm going to have the worship team come on back up. Last thought for being thankful for where you are. Focus on God, count your blessings, and lastly, accept your imperfections. Accept your imperfections. Everybody hear what I'm saying this right here? Because listen, some of us grew up in homes that our families made us feel imperfect. Some of us went to schools that schoolmates and teachers made you feel less than imperfect. But here's the thing is that the enemy has a lie, and it goes to everyone. It's worldwide, and here's the lie. You guys look at this. It's a common lie. Some people are living perfect lives, and some people have perfect lives. And I want you to know that's a lie from the enemy. There is not one life that is perfect other than Jesus, who set his feet on this earth for 33 years. Wow. That would have been a short being here, huh? No one perfect except for Jesus. Give me an amen on that. So here it is. Some people people are living perfect lives, and some people have perfect lives, but not one. That's why in Romans 3:23, it's very clear. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's why he goes on in Romans 5:8, where it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were all yet sinners, we were jacked up. We were messed up. And he still loved us. He still went to the cross for every one of us. God's desire, and I really believe this. I really believe this. Now listen, there's ministers that overplay the word glory. I'm just going to be honest with you. Glory is a very important part of our faith with God. It's a powerful thing. It's abused sometimes with, oh, the glory of this and the glory. And guys, no, the glory, we couldn't stand all the glory of God. We wouldn't be able to be under all the glory of God, but just to have a portion of his glory. And I really do believe this, that God's desire is to reveal himself like he did to me at the Wailing Wall. As I said, I've been there. I've been going to the Wailing Wall for over since 1997. And I've never had God reveal himself in a new way to me like that. But his desire is to reveal himself, who he really is, listen to this, upon his people with his glory. That you would experience him in a way that you've never experienced him. Not his perfect people. Our perfection is only through him. Philippians 3:12 says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. The enemy will shout, you're not good enough. You know, there's people that will go their entire lives and never hear somebody tell them that they're not good enough. But that same person might hear this right here, is that you're not where you're supposed to be. The enemy knows how to go at each and every one of us. That your plans, he'll tell you, your plans are more important than what God's plans are for your life. He'll tell you this right here, that you're all by yourself. No one's going to help you. You're all alone. And if we begin to believe the lies and cower to the attacks, we start to feel inadequate. We start to feel inferior to others. And we start, here's a huge one, guys. We start trying to fit our lives into places we were never supposed to fit. So look at with me again in Psalm 69, verse 30. He says it. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify. Everybody say magnify. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Did you know it's okay sometimes to get in your car and just go, save me, oh God. God, save me. I didn't even share this in the first service, but I remember I was at a Christmas party out in Suffolk waiting on my wife to get there. She was late and I didn't know what was going on. She shows up, she comes in, and I can tell something's off. There's something wrong. And so I walk her over and I sit down on the chair with her. I said, babe, what's going on? And she goes, Matt, she goes, I feel like I'm losing my mind. And she said, I actually went out into my car and I just screamed because there was too much. Something was going on that was too much. And we had to go to God together. And it happens to each and every one of us. Nobody is perfect. Nobody lives the most perfect life. But we all have something to be thankful for. Come on, church, that we all have something to be thankful for. Save me, oh God. It's okay. It's okay to shout it. It's okay to want that and to desire it because he wants to do that for you. And I praise you, God. Save me, oh God, and I praise you and I thank you for what you are doing in my life. God, reveal yourself to me who you really are. Just a glimpse of your glory. Let me have it, God. Let me have it. If I feel like I'm going to suffocate under it, Lord, just give me a glimpse of your glory. But church, most importantly is this. Be thankful for where you are. Let me say it again. Be thankful for where you are because he's not done with your life. He's not done with us. I want to do what we did this morning. I'm going to have William. Man.
Shake the mountains, break the walls apart, open the heavens. Almighty God, you are overcome, defender of my heart. Yeah. Come on, all over the building. In my power, the oceans open wide, your fire falls. Earth collide. King Jesus, forever by my side. Come on, everybody, shake the mountains. Come on.